Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted Presents. Your host tonight, Asa Gray, takes over the reins during these special shows, and I love him so much. He's so pretty. So tonight, Asa, we have two incredible guests. Yes. Oh, also Dalton's here.
Aww.
I sometimes forget. He's very forgettable, and I'm Shannon Young, of course. I get nervous whenever we get legends like Austin Lane and Asa who?
The one and only Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn joining us here tonight. Jerry Lynn, Austin Lane, thank you guys so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. I'm not quite a legend, I wouldn't say. That means pretty much you're old in this business.
That's what I was going to say. It just means I'm old.
I want to point out that Jerry Lynn on this podcast showed pity on me whenever y'all started. I mean, that's fine, but I got it for that 1 second.
That's because he doesn't know you.
Well, I figured these guys are the heels and you're the baby face and getting sympathy.
Oh, no.
No?
I'm saving this forever. That's my ringtone for life.
Dalton is the, what would you call him of the group? He's the
Dalton is the Bobby Heenan. He's the weasel.
Really?
He just not that over.
I would say Dalton's the disco inferno to our NWO. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah. I'd be hot if I were you.
That's not worth it.
He'd be fire in the mountain.
It's not even worth it at this point in my life.
Virgil didn't get to speak up. It's okay.
F money. I censored it. I was being nice. I censored it.
We appreciate that. Yeah. So we've had Austin on the show before. Actually, you've been on Podzilla, two times, I believe, at this
three
point.
Three times, I think.
Was it three times? Because you did Nerd Up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you did Pro Wrestling Unscripted with us.
Yes.
And then he called in that one.
Yeah.
Or he did the promo for...
The promo for the, like, for right. the preview, yeah.
When we started doing
before, this. Yeah, before we knew anybody, and we were just... We love CCW so much that we decided we're going to make a show based on it to promote these guys. And then it all took off, and now we're sitting here with Austin Lane and Jerry Lynn. So we did pretty good for ourselves, I'd say.
Awesome.
Yeah. Jerry, me and Asa were running over questions about this, and Mikey McFinnigan was in here just a second ago with us. He wants to know specifically about a couple things, but I'm going to wait till he gets in here
all right.
to do that.
Okay.
So I guess first off, if I may ask the first question, if we're good. Coming into CCW, are you familiar with it? Have you looked into CCW too much? Or how many shows do you do on the indies per year?
I've retired, not hardly anything.
So you're not doing the circuit? You're not going round and round?
No, I only do 2-3 things a year. And that's just whenever someone happens to call. Because I'm not on social media.
Mm.
And I'm not really, I haven't outwardly went and pursued more gigs or anything. And I don't know. I thought after I retired from wrestling, you know, things would slow down. It doesn't. It's like even the home life keeps me busy. You know, got the regular, I'm a regular 9-to-5 ham and egger again. And
it was like even this one right here, you know, it wasn't even one that, you know, Jerry pursued. It was because me and Jerry, we talked quite a bit, you know, holidays, stuff like that on the phone. And just one time it was like, hey, you know, why don't you come over here in, you know, Missouri? We got something, you know, really good going on. And that's where it came from. He wasn't looking out for it.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if it was Jason Wells, you know, who runs Cape Championship Wrestling, if he had reached out to you, or if Austin had just said, hey, I'm doing this thing. It's fun. You should come do it.
Didn't you get me a gig working for Jason in Union City?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to do like several, but.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's got me quite a few, actually. But yeah.
I think we did like Union City it was about a year ago. It was about a year ago when we did, you came in and did the referee deal for me and Dale Tucker. We did the ladder match.
There. That was awesome.
Yes.
Being a referee for a ladder match. No, you know, half dozen near falls.
Do you do much refereeing on this stuff?
Not very much. Just every once in a while when someone wants a special referee.
Have you refereed a cage match before?
I don't think I have. So this will be a first.
So when you do these, you said you only do a couple times a year.
It's usually...
Do you do reffing appearances or do you...
It's whatever they want. And lately it's been like... And I went forever without doing conventions. And then this last fall I had 3 in a row. It was a couple in... Right all in November and December. It was the one in the big... what was it? I can't remember what it was called, in New Jersey. And then the one at the big event in New York.
WrestleCon?
No,
WrestleCon's a
WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, okay.
And then I did Legends one at the ECW Arena right before Tommy's House of Hardcore show.
Yeah.
So I had 3 in a row all of a sudden just out of the clear blue. So, and I think this year will be the first time I'm doing WrestleCon. I've never done it. So
why don't you do the cons? Is it a
I just haven't pursued it.
Hmm.
And no one's... you know, I'm sure a lot of people don't know how to get a hold of me since I'm not on social media. Chris, I forget his last name now off the top of my head, but he does a lot of bookings for Shane Douglas and, I've been hitting the head off the line. Anyway, he called me and I think Shane asked me and I gave him my number and he called up and said, "Hey, you want to do some conventions?" I said, "Sure." So he's going to bring me down for WrestleCon and I'm going to do a couple, I think Friday and Saturday at WrestleCon. And I think Thursday night on Luke's Wildcat show, I'm going to be a special ref there. And then on Tommy's House of Hardcore, I'm going to be a special ref on his show too. So I'm probably might be looking for one on Friday because so far it's Thursday and Saturday. So I don't know. There's so many shows there. I just want to check out as a fan too.
Okay, so if anyone's listening and you want to book Jerry, get hold of Austin.
But yeah, no, I'm really looking forward just to watching some of the other indies. Like, what's the one from England?
Progress.
Yeah. I want to check out their show and I want to check out CZW again because I worked for them a couple times and
we have a lot of listeners that we've talked about CZW on the show before. Tell us about CZW, because whenever I see CZW, it's the craziest, insane, violent thing.
Well, you know what I do now for my wrestling fix is if I want to watch wrestling, I'll get on YouTube and I'll watch old stuff like NWA or World Class, stuff like that when all the indies were hot. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say indies. They were territories then. But it's so much fun watch. I get goosebumps thinking about it still, just thinking about watching it because back then, every territory was hot and the fans would go nuts. And it was such an exciting time in wrestling. So I'll get on YouTube and watch stuff like that. And then just for pure shock value, I'll watch deathmatch stuff with CZW. And isn't there a Game Changer Wrestling or something? I can't remember. There's quite a few. Then there's that IWA Deep South that does the Carnage Cup and stuff like that. So I'll just search around for stuff like that just for pure shock value, you know, to see.
How does that compare to ECW? Because, you know, ECW was the hardcore federation. It was the hardcore wrestling. But a lot of the stuff that, I mean, to me, maybe I'm just not watching the right stuff, but the stuff that you see now that they do seems so much more careless and violent than what you would even see in ECW in the 90s.
Well, I don't know. With the way Balls Mahoney and Sandman and Tanaka and they would all trade chair shots and stuff. That seemed pretty reckless to me too. I was waiting for someone to get a brain clot or an aneurysm and drop dead or something, but because they were clocking each other hard. Those steel chairs, the seats would be almost folded in half there as hard as they were hitting each other. No, but you know, like I know what you're talking about though, because in ECW, there wasn't light tubes and
right.
And now I've seen
an actual hacksaw.
Or
that was that was the most recent one that got
weed
me.
Whackers. Oh my god! You know that and then I've seen sticking syringes through each other's cheeks and in their feet and
I saw
barefoot thumbtack matches.
He did a German suplex. I think he had like a concrete block or a ladder was around the guy's neck.
I've seen the ladder.
And when I watch that stuff, you know, when I was younger, I think I would have been like, oh yeah, that's incredible. But now I'm 35 and when I see stuff like that, I cringe. And you know, where we've come in wrestling now with the professional, you know, the WWE and stuff, I can't believe that people still do that.
Well, when I grew up and I was watching the ECW, you know, I didn't actually watch it for the hardcore stuff. You know, I was watching it for Jerry and Rob's matches. I was watching it for Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio. You know, that's the reason I was watching because it wasn't just hardcore like the chairs and stuff like that. It was the hardcore is to me, it was their work rate. I mean, that's what really made ECW stand out to me. That's what really drew me into watching it.
Realism of the characters compared to WWE at the time.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what was, you know, ECW gets always the, people always want to say, oh, that's just hardcore junk, whatever. But I think it gave everyone a variety. Like you said, you had Mysterio and Psychosis, and they even brought in the Michinoku guys. Yeah. So you had, you know, Lucha, you had good wrestling, you had high-flying stuff, you had the hardcore. Then also you had the comedy with the Blue World Order and that stuff. So I think ECW gave a good variety.
And those guys were storytellers too. And I mean, I don't know if he knows this, but I literally watched Rob and Jerry's match one time. One of their matches got goosebumps on my arms watching it and literally cried at the end watching it. I mean, those guys, I mean, they went out there and did all these crazy things, but they were telling a story. They would take these big high spots and tell a story with it. And that's what really, I mean, you really follow the story. You know, you could put yourself in one of those guys' shoes. I mean, it really, I mean, this is, That's what drew me in.
I got a lot of bumps too, except they're on my head, my face.
Yeah, I think the kick where you went off the, you straddled the rope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, to the floor.
I call that the concrete facial.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching that one.
That was a bad night.
You laid there and you raised up and that blow was pouring. I was like, oh yeah, that looked like it was rough.
It was very painful. I thought my head was in two chunks.
And I think y'all still went like 40 minutes after that.
Well, I didn't want to at first. I told the ref, I said, he comes over and says, you okay? I said, no. And then, Rob came over and stomped on my head. I'm like, oh, please. And the ref came back and I said, just tell him to roll me in the ring and pin me. And Rob came over and stomped on my head again. I'm like, oh, please stop. No, then finally, I mean, it hurt so bad. People say, you were out cold, weren't you? And I said, no. I said, I wish I was. I wouldn't have felt the pain. And then by the time Rob stalled good. And by the time he came back and was picking me up to put me on the apron, I said, screw it. I said, let's finish.
Yeah, y'all went like 20, 30 minutes after that. I mean, that is hard right there.
Scary. Is what I like that. When I watch wrestling, I like to watch my safe wrestling. I watch Hulk Hogan drop a leg. I'll watch, you know, that I was not an ECW fan growing up. I didn't know much about it. The only thing I knew about ECW was, you know, cause I watched Raw was Jerry Lawler. I got most of my ECW knowledge from Jerry Lawler at the time. And he called it was extremely crappy wrestling. And, when I finally got to see ECW, I really appreciated it for what it was. Like you said, it was storytelling. It was kind of like what WCW did with the Luchas, with the Cruiserweights and, you know, but more realistic. It had a better flow to it.
When I first saw it, I was in WCW. My buddy and I, it'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's on some obscure channel. We'd get it. And then they were hitting each other in the head with frying pans and whatever the fans would hand over the rail. I mean, I saw microwave ovens, Nintendos, you know, it was crazy what these guys, they were handing them and they were hitting each other with. And I was just like, I'm never going to work for that company. Never.
I remember the first time I saw ECW was, it was my friend's house. Cause we would always watch WWF together at the time. And then he would always just be like, my brother just showed her, like my sister's boyfriend just showed me this. And so the like highlight video that he had, but it was all those like crazy, super violent weapon stuff. Like it was like a compilation, like greatest hits type deal. And so that's what I thought ECW was. Like I didn't even know about the actual, like, and actual is the worst way to put that, but like the really technical side of it until I think they got, was it TNT that they got?
Yeah,
TV deal with briefly.
No, TNN.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, and they, so, and the, like, the first, like, okay, I'm going to watch this. And it was like, I think the first, like, two matches they did, or the first two matches that I saw were, like, really technically great wrestling. I was like, wait, I thought this was, where's the stop sign?
That was around, like, I don't know what's, that was around the time that you were champ, wasn't it?
No.
When you were TNN?
No, I was still feuding. Was I still feuding Rob? I can't. No, it was.
Oh, the TNN, I think you were, wasn't that when you were with Cyrus?
Not right away. I don't think. Oh, gosh. I've been hitting the head a lot.
Yeah. The first ECW, so I watched it on TNN. That's when I first saw it after the Jerry Lawler stuff. The first thing I remember seeing was, you remember Tony Mameluke? I think it was Tony Mameluke. I saw him take a dive out of the ring, and the rail was so close to the ring that I thought he just crushed his face on the guardrail.
Yes.
And I remember seeing that and going like, oh, my God. I channeled my inner Joey Styles at that point. And then, yeah, that kind of stuff, don't see that anymore, at least not in any channels I watch.
No, he almost died that night, I think.
That does not surprise me.
There's plenty of nights that people almost died in ECW.
Now, you two know, how long have you two known each other?
Gosh.
2099, something like that.
Yeah, long time.
I've been in the business for like a year and a half, I guess. And like I always tell everyone that, you know, I was trained and brought into the business, but Jerry's the one who actually taught me how to work, you know, so everything that I do in the ring now, I blame on Jerry.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot.
But I think we were doing that, I believe it was a New Breed show, and it was just right outside of Chicago, and we were booked with each other, and it's the first time I ever met him, and it's the first time I was in Illinois and all this other stuff. And apparently it was kind of like an ECW reunion show.
Hmm.
So, Spike Dudley was there. And Jerry and a few others. But I remember I introduced myself to him and everything. We shook hands and he said, hold on just 1 second. You know, we'll go over stuff. Just give me a second. They want me to watch this first match. Cause, you know, it was right at the very beginning of the show. I was standing right there beside him because, you know, I'm just soaking up knowledge. And, first match, man, they had light bulbs and thumbtacks, barbed wire, table was lit on fire and everything else. And I was there watching it, and he told me, he said that I think these guys, they said something about they were going to do one of me and Rob's spots or something like that. So they wanted me to watch it. So they're sitting there watching it. My eyes were big, and I'm like, whoa, this ain't mad. But I remember I looked at Jerry. Jerry's just sitting there just staring at the TV. And I was like, man, he's going to kill me out there. I was like, this guy's going to murder me. I was like, I wrestle. And he turned around and looked at me, and he looked right at me. He's like, we're going to wrestle tonight. I said, yes, sir, we are.
I'm surprised I didn't say, I'm glad they did that so we don't have to.
Yeah. and we went out there and tore it down. It was Missouri Wrestling Revival Match of the Year and all this other stuff. And I remember it because he told me like several times, like, you know, one of the reasons why we became so close is, at first time, usually, you know, he'll ask someone, hey, you know, get with somebody that you want to wrestle, and they're like, hey, I want to do this and this and this. And, you know, that guy's wanting to make sure to get his stuff in. Jerry comes up to me and he says, all right, so what do you want to do? So I start calling his spots. And every one of them was his spots. And he looked at me and he's like, yeah, I'm going to like you.
Well, I've been on so many shows where I've never met the guy, never heard of the guy, doesn't know what he does or anything, and right away they start listing off all this stuff they want to do, and I'm going, oh, this match is going to be I was just thinking it's going to be a chore just to get a good match out of this guy, because all he cares about is himself. Mm-hmm. And there's three of us out there, us and the ref, you know. And I had a show, I can't remember, it was I think an hour and a half south of Chicago, it was in Winnetka or Watsika or something, and this guy comes up, the guy I'm going to wrestle, the same thing. I've never met him, never heard of him, don't know what he does, anything. And he comes, and I remembered him when he came up to me, because when I went around and introduced myself and shook hands with everyone, he was sitting behind on the other side of a table, and I put my hand out. I said, hey, I'm Jerry Lynn, nice to meet you. And he just kind of looked up at me and grunted, and just went, I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. So when he came up to me and says, yeah, we're working together. And I usually ask the usual questions when I don't know who it is or anything. So I say, so how long have you been wrestling now? He goes, a little over a year. I train people too. I'm pretty good. And right away I'm thinking, am I going to get out of this alive? And I ask him, so are you a heel or a face? He says, oh, I'm a heel. I said, well, what's your finisher? And, cause I'm putting him over. And, he says, and I can't remember it halfway through. He mumbled, but he said something like a high impact top rope twisting something power bomb. I go, we're going to do a roll up in the ropes.
Yeah, it is awesome. I mean, we've known each other since then and we came real close. You know, I know his family. He knows my family. He used to stay. We'd do shows together. I'd get him booked on shows and we'd do shows and go back to the house and have a few adult beverages and play Guitar Hero all night. Yeah.
Yes.
Play Guitar Hero all night. And the bad part is Nicky, and he knows it now. He didn't know it then. But Nicky would kill us. I mean, I don't know if he practices all the time at home or whatever. He would murder us at Guitar Hero. But what we'd do is we were having some adult beverages. Well, Nicky would slip hers behind his back. I would drink it and I would give it back to her. So as the night went on,
I was getting worse.
Yeah, he was getting worse, and Nicky starts killing him, and he couldn't understand. Like,
what's going on?
Every time he stayed the night at the house, every single time, he don't know, didn't figure out how, but Nicky started murdering him at Guitar Hero until later on. I finally told him, I was like, Nicky, I think, told him, he's like, yeah, I was passing my drinks over to Austin. Your back.
It's a grand Guitar Hero conspiracy. Oh,
my timing got horrible. I couldn't hit a note. It was plink, plink, plink.
Oh, yeah, we always try to play Freebird. Oh, yeah. Oh.
I bought that game exclusively. I know we're talking about video games, but I bought that game exclusively for Boston's More Than a Feeling, and it's the only song I ever played. And I was never good at it, but I played it on easy, and I got through it.
We'd always wait till Jerry's done. He's done gotten worse as the night's gone along. Nicky's pretending to have gotten worse, and then we'd put Freebird on, and you know how hard Freebird is, and Nicky would just speed through it, and he just jaw dropped. Oh. Is that, he couldn't believe it.
Is that when you pool shark it, you start putting money on it? Yeah.
It was vicious. She just went in for the kill.
I mean, Guitar Hero is not something to mess around with. You really gotta,
Yeah.
It takes I stand your ground there.
I never got the hammer-ons and hammer-offs, and I never got up to expert level by any means. But mm-hmm. I always loved joking around, you know, kicking the leg up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, yeah. If we had a video camera some of those nights, yeah, it was.
Oh, you know what my wife did to me one time?
What'd she do?
Because at first, I would have to wait, because I didn't have the regular job then. I'd have to wait till they went to bed to play it, because I'd usually start at about 10, 11 o'clock at night. And before I know it, I'd look at the clock. It's 4:30 in the morning. Like, holy smokes, I've been playing this forever. And well, there's one day, it was the middle of the day, and I can't remember. I think she was playing, but then she had to go in the kitchen and cook dinner or something. And I'd just gotten out of the shower, and I was dried off, and I saw the guitar there, and it was all set up. So I went and put on the guitar, and I started playing naked. It was just us in the house, and I didn't know it. She got behind me and took a picture of me from behind playing guitar here naked. And so, and I didn't know, and I had to do a show in Nashville. And it was, I'll never forget, it was at Stadium Inn, downtown Nashville. And Jamie, I'm sitting in a chair getting dressed, everyone's getting dressed, and Jamie Dundee comes in. And if anyone knows Jamie, wherever he makes an entrance, you know he's there, because he's loud.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Jamie, but he's hilarious. But and just out of the clear blue, he goes, did something like survey time or something like it. And, he says, who here likes to play Guitar Hero naked? And I just raised my hand and put my head down in shame. And I'm like, oh my God. She sent him a picture of me playing guitar.
So I wish we could get that picture. That would be the picture for this show.
Oh, I'm sure she has it somewhere.
Guitar Hero naked.
It explains why he's off of social media.
Picture right there.
Yeah, because that would be all over Facebook. If you had an Instagram, that would be your most liked picture for sure.
I told him, hey, you got an extra Wawa bar to play with.
Yeah.
So, random question. You bring up video games. Are you a gamer?
I used to be. I mean, I don't have much time anymore. I want to, but it's just, I just don't have time. I mean, I'm aging myself, but I came from the era of Pong and the first Space Invaders. And I remember when the first Pac-Man got in the arcades. I mean, I spent all my allowance. I used to mow yards in the summer and shovel driveways in the winter for money. I spent all my money at the arcades back then, when there were arcades in all the malls and everywhere.
I miss those.
I mean, I remember, yeah. I mean, I was hooked on video games the first time my dad took me to the mall and took me to an arcade. And it was in an arcade where it had the light guns shooting at UFOs going across the screen. Then you had the helicopter that was attached to a bar. It would fly in circles, and it had the wires on each side, and you had whatever tower with a light would light up. You'd have to fly the helicopter over and touch the wire onto whatever to make the light go off to go to the next one. It was all mechanical games. There wasn't even any video games at the time. It was air hockey, foosball, you know.
Like a bar games, kind of.
Yeah. So I it's been cool watching how the video game industry has just evolved and changed. And so I had, you know, we got Atari, we got the first Nintendo, got the Super Nintendo. I had ColecoVision. It's been fun watching the video game industry change and evolve.
I used to play with Fred Flintstone, so yeah, we played together all the time.
Thanks a lot. Twinkle Toes when you go bowling together.
Do either of you ever play? Because me and Dalton and Asa, we play a lot of wrestling games. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Dalton and I both bought the legendary Cena, the Cena Nuff edition of 2K18. Did you ever play wrestling games?
And I had the first PlayStation. I went and had some video game place put in a special chip so I could play the Japanese games on it. And I got one of the, I think it was a New Japan game or something.
Mm-hmm. Fire Pro?
I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Fire Pro.
New Japan games.
Yeah.
But it was cool because when you threw someone into the post, you'd see blood going down their face. But we didn't have any instructions in English or anything to play it. You just had to fart around with it and just.
Did you ever play any of the terrible ECW games? Because you're in Hardcore Revolution, I know for sure.
About to say, I was like, I love how you say, are you in any of those horrible ECW
games? They were horrible.
That you were in.
They were bad.
They were. It was hard to get it to do anything. If you didn't do the buttons just right, it kept doing the same thing over. Chop, 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 whatever. And the funny part was, someone, when I went to one of the shows, someone says, hey, you're on the cover of the video game. I'm like, yeah, I am. Awesome. and I see it, and it's me cowering in fear as Rob's kicking a chair through my head. I'm like, great.
You never want to be the other guy on the poster.
I mean, you know what? For years and years, it was I was plus many more.
It's like anytime you see a great dunk in the NBA, there's the guy doing the dunk, and there's the guy under him.
Well, he's like, a part of history, too, though, to be
fair. Yeah, like...
That was me.
Yeah.
Did you ever play that game? Did you play as yourself in that game?
Probably. I played everyone on it, but it was a horrible game. It was terrible. The controls were terrible.
I wonder how surreal that has to be playing a video game based on the thing that you do in real life, and you're in it, and you're controlling yourself, and it's terrible. You can't do anything that you can do in real life because you don't know the Mortal Kombat presses, because that game was atrocious.
I don't know. It was different, I guess. I guess, you know, years ago, if you'd have told me I was going to be in a video game, I wouldn't have believed it. Or let alone people wanting my autograph, you know. Or having an action figure. It was funny, too, when the action figures came out, everyone else has had cool weapons like a garbage can or a folding chair or a 2x4 or a... Mine's an electric guitar. I'm like, what?
I yelled that to me right before you said it.
I knew where it was going.
And then everyone else had cool movements, like, you know, swinging the fist and stuff. What was mine? A headbutt, which was squeezing the legs together so you could bend over at the waist. Like, welcome to the penitentiary. You know, it's like, come on. It's like someone's ribbing me here.
That's one that I
Go ahead.
Like, I'm a big, I collect action figures all the time. And it's one of those, like, I have a list of whenever they do the flashbacks for the elites. I'm always like, Jerry Lynn would be cool. Cause like, you're in that era of wrestling that I absolutely love. Two different eras, like the ECW, the really technical wrestling. And then also WWE wouldn't do this because of it, but the like early X Division stuff. Those were two of my favorite. Just like, those are the things I'll go on YouTube and watch all the time. It was one of those whenever Austin got a hold of Shannon a couple months ago and was just like, so Jerry Lynn wants to do the podcast with you guys. I was like, yeah, I want that to be a thing. If you can make it happen. Yeah. Cause I think I was like 14, like 12, 14. I got ECW One Night Stand 06 and it came with like an ECW pay-per-view and you weren't on that one, but it made me start going down the ECW like early YouTube rabbit hole. And I just kept finding you because I remember you like or Attitude Era with the light heavyweight belt. And it's just like, I remember him. And then I started watching it. And I think it was a little bit after the X Division, after you had the X Division belt a couple times. And I was like, it was kind of like the whole like X-Pac, Dean Malenko, like that style of wrestling that I just absolutely fell in love with. And it was one of those like, again, if you had told me 10 years later that I'd be sitting at a table with you, I'd be like, well, you're crazy.
Yeah, we still haven't, we do pretty well for ourselves on this podcast, but we still haven't gotten over that fanboy feeling, which to me, I feel like that's important. You need to keep that forever.
Well,
be excited by the guys.
You still have to be a fan, otherwise you'll get bored with it.
Right.
I've been doing it 20 years and I'm still the same way. I mean, I am, and I'll tell anyone, when I first started, and it was like, you know, don't mark out for these guys, you know, don't ask for the picture. And I'm like, no, life's too short. I mean, I'm a fan of it. If I'm not a fan of it, you know, why am I even doing it? I mean,
right.
Our bodies do way too much if you don't love and are not a fan of it. So, I mean, I even to this day, I'm still the same way.
I geek every time you text me, I geek out. No matter where I'm at, I'll stop whatever I'm doing and go, Austin Lane texted me.
He's done it before. He's done it to us.
Yeah, I'll do it with Jerry. Maybe Thanksgiving, Halloween. It was one of the holidays, just randomly out of nowhere, just phone went off. Nikki's like, hey, Jerry texted you. I'm like, oh, did he? And I flipped it over and, hey, love you guys. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm like, Jerry didn't think. Just
ran out of nowhere. Jerry, like Austin, to you, who were your idols? Who were the people, the wrestlers that you looked up to?
One of my favorites was Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. And,
yes.
And, years later, he's the one who brought me down to Memphis for the old USWA territory. And so I thought, wow, that what a compliment that he saw something in my work that he brought me down here. And then the next year, he brought me and X-Pac down to Global to do our feud there. So I just, it was awesome that one of my favorites saw something in my work. But in growing up, it was like, you know, I grew up in Minneapolis, so before the early 80s when we got cable, that's all I grew up seeing. So, you know, as some of the favorites were like Baron Von Roschke and Crusher and Mad Dog Vachon and all those guys.
So you mentioned X-Pac earlier. I have to ask. I was waiting for Mikey McFinley to get back in here because he wanted to hear about this. But Dalton is a huge X-Pac fan. The biggest X-Pac fan. No joke.
Actually, one of the wrestlers here bought his most recent action figure. And I'm waiting for the text message to be like, hey, I'm here so I can go pick it up.
Yeah. It was X-Pac. And Mikey wanted me to ask you about your feud with X-Pac. And just about him and, you know, he said something about a 2 out of 3 falls match he wanted to hear about specifically.
In Global? I think it was in Global. Cause that was the first time we got like national television, exposure. But we, before Global and before I even went to Memphis, we feuded for probably a good 2 years up in the Midwest around, you know, Minneapolis and Wisconsin and North and South Dakota and Iowa. And so, and, he went through Malenko's camp down in Tampa and his grandparents lived up in Minnesota and he heard that the wrestling scene was pretty good up there at the time. So he moved up there and we hit it off together right away. Cause we just both loved wrestling so much, but, we would get together almost every day and watch whatever tapes we could get a hold of Japan and Mexico and anything we could get a hold of. And we liked all the different styles. So we kind of like mesh it all together and into all of our matches and stuff. And at that time, you know, we were both really small too. And at that time, it was still Land of the Giants. Most of the guys were, you know, over six foot tall and over 250 pounds. And a lot of them, you know, they didn't really want to do nothing with you except throw you around and get themselves over at your expense. You know, they didn't really want to work with you because you were too small. So we had fun working together. And I told him too, I saw him, gosh, when was the last time I saw him? A year or two ago in Philly at one of the Ring of Honor shows. And I told him, that still was, in my entire career, some of my favorite, times because we had the people thinking we hated each other's guts and they were buying it, you know, and it was an exciting time. And it was fun to finally work with someone who wanted to try new things and, you know, change it up and explore. Whereas the other guys, you know, no one wanted to try anything different. It was just, you know, hip toss here, all, you know, this is like getting frequent flyer miles. They just want to throw you around, you know? So it was fun working with someone who wanted to actually go out there and work and do stuff, you know?
Did you kind of see that transition from where, you know, being the smaller guys meant you were just kind of fodder for the bigger guys to where eventually there were more and more guys roughly the same size? Or like, did you see that happening or was it just kind of a sudden thing? Was it more gradual?
I guess it was gradual, I think. I think that, you know, when I first came to Memphis, they used smaller guys. I mean, they had some big boys, but I think that's when I first noticed that other parts of the country will use smaller guys. Mm-hmm. But it was more of a gradual change, I think. I think what really kicked it off was probably in the mid-90s when ECW and WCW started using a lot of luchadors, you know, and stuff like that. And then the smaller light heavyweight high flying stuff really started to take off more.
Oh no, you're fine. Oh. See, everyone does that. I adjust constantly. Okay. Don't worry, right. I got you covered. Yeah, if you see me fiddling with things, I'd like to make sure everyone's up. It's my job because I normally Asa asks all the questions, and I feel terrible because I'm so fanboyed out that I keep asking things, and I apologize to Asa, and I love you so much.
Plus, we were lucky because Bruce Kreitzman, a referee in Minneapolis, he'd gone over to Japan for that Universal. It was called Universal Pro. It was a lucha style company. And, he had Wally Yamaguchi, one of the refs, come over to the States to check out me and Sean. And, he liked what we did. So he brought us over there. And so we worked for that lucha style company. I think we had they made us a tag team and we were a tag going against, I can't remember their real names. Now they're called, Gato and Jado or something like that in New Japan.
Dumb.
Oh,
Dalton's Jado and Gato.
Yeah, who are you talking about? Yeah,
yeah. But
Is it Chaos? Are they in part of Chaos?
I don't know, but they were a tag team in that lucha style company, and we were in an angle with them and stuff, and it was really fun working with them. And then we got to work with a lot of the lucha legends like Dos Caras and Los Brazos and Villanos and Los Cowboys and stuff. So got to learn a lot of lucha and work with, you know, some really good, really great wrestlers over there.
Do you follow the product now? Do you still watch wrestling?
Like I said, I mostly watch YouTube. So I really, you know, if so, I don't know. I really don't have. I don't know.
Do you catch the WWE top 10 every week, like
no,
I do? No, that's how I watch Raw and SmackDown.
There's a couple. There's a guy at work. He'll always keep me caught up to it because he'll watch Raw and stuff, and he'll keep me caught up. But I just, I don't know. I just don't.
So do the people at your work know, like, do they know, like, you being the wrestler that you are?
Or? Some do.
Some do?
Yeah.
I think that would just kind of be weird. Like, if I worked with you, I'd just be like, I can't go talk to my coworker right now. Why? Because it's Jerry Lynn. Because it's Jerry Lynn. It's not, he didn't do anything wrong. I can't make words. It's fine.
I feel like he wouldn't want to talk to you because you would just be following him around constantly. We need to get work done. Yeah. Well, okay, yes, but first, tell me about Paul Heyman.
If I saw him, I'd probably go, Stranger Danger!
Jerry's one of the few that wrestled for, I mean, he's one of those.
Yeah, everybody.
He's one of the mechanics, guys that can go out there and do anything. He wrestled for WCW.
You give me too much credit.
NWA, TNA, I mean, he wrestled for all.
No, it was a deal.
I did a lot. I even did Smoky Mountain's first TV taping. I worked Killer Kyle.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, no, because it's one of those, like I said, whenever I found that ECW DVD and you kept popping up everywhere, it wasn't like a 3-match thing. It was like a couple day long rabbit hole where I'm just watching Jerry Lynn matches, like,
after
school.
I'm so sorry.
I got a story, because I know you've told it before, but I think it is hilarious. Tell about the tag match you did. You seen the movie The Wrestler?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Randy the Ram?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. The story where you did the Randy the Ram gimmick?
Was that in Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Well, there's a guy out there, Grim, and he asked me, he says, if I get the outfits made, will you do Team Ram Jam with me? I said, sure. So he got the furry vests and the green and whatever tights with the ram's heads on each side and went out and bought white knee pads and white elbow pads, and we were Team Ram Jam. He was Grimmy Jam and I was Jerry the Ram. So, it was for, I've been hitting the head a lot. I'm trying to think of the name of the Primos. Anyway, the finish of the match was both of us on the corners jumping off and doing the, what was the name of his finisher? Was it the Ram Jam?
I think it was the Ram Jam. Yeah.
So we each did the Ram Jam from opposite corners, and I think we draped an arm over each guy and we pinned him, but we kept laying there like we died. And we wouldn't move. Everyone left the ring. The ref was gone. The wrestlers were gone. Even the fans started leaving the building, and we still laid there and laid there and laid there. And then they started undoing the turnbuckles and tearing the ring down while we're still laying there. And we're waiting for someone to give us the Iggy that we can get up and get and leave when all the people are gone, you know.
Yeah, well, you told me that.
I think we laid there for at least 15, 20 minutes.
They started moving the mat, like trying to move you underneath it.
It had to be 15 minutes we laid there, like we were dead.
I told him, I was like, man, have you seen the wrestler? He's like, yeah. And I said, you look just like Randy the Ram, but you ought to do that gimmick. And he's like, no, he said, we actually did that. He said, I did it in Denver. He said, I did a tag. I said, the funny thing is the finish is, you know, at the end of the movie, he jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he dies.
You don't know what happens.
Well, you don't know what happens.
You don't really know what happens. He said, so we ended the movie. I was like, well, you did. What do you mean? He's like, well, we dove off, did the same finish, but we died. I was like, oh, my goodness.
And then I wore it one more time for Anarchy down in Austin on a Halloween show. I wore it.
Oh, let's say, like, I'm trying to fathom in what world that Jerry Lynn would portray anyone other than Jerry Lynn, other than my introduction to Jerry Lynn,
uh-oh,
which was Mr. JL.
That was Jushin Liger. I'll never take credit for that.
I found an old picture of Jerry, and I sent it to him. I was like, who's this handsome fella? And he texted me back, that was Jerry Flynn, not me. Not ever. He always, nope, that wasn't me.
Were you not a fan of the Mr. JL?
Not the name. I mean, I was working in a screen printing shop at the time, and no one in the States was doing a mask gimmick, and I saw a lot of cool mask gimmicks in Japan. And at the time in the States, the Power Rangers were huge on TV. So I thought, I'll come up with something like the Power Rangers, but kind of alien-like. So I had a guy who worked in the art department at work help me come up with the design and stuff. So I invested $1,200 into getting the outfit put together. And luckily, when I went over to Michinoku to do their mass man tournament, I brought the outfit to show Sasuke because I told him I wanted to get a mask made for it. But he had me wear the outfit with their mask, that Gorgota cross mask. And, because they wanted me to wear that mask. But he said, please wear the rest of the outfit. So I did, and it was so cool. At the end of the tour, Sasuke gave me the mask. He went and had it made for me without telling me and gave it to me.
Oh, wow.
And that mask would have probably cost me $300 to get made. Jeez. So that was so cool of Sasuke to do that for me. And then when I came back to the States, I had two more outfits made, like combination of different colors, like blue and white. And then I had, I can't remember who, I don't know if it was Mysterio or someone went back to home to Mexico and they had a couple more masks made for me. So I had three different outfits, but, and I wanted to be called like the Phantasm or something like that, you know. And the first time they wanted to use me, I showed up and it's like a half hour before we're going live. And they said, well, what do you want to be called? And I'm going, the Phantasm or the Cyber Knight or something, you know. And,
Cyber Knight. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, they said, and it was three of them standing there. And I told Kevin Sullivan too, I don't blame him at all because he had a lot on his plate, you know. And I was just like a guppy in the ocean as far as wrestling goes. And they said, well, we don't want to slap any names on you without researching any copyright infringements. So he says, what the hell? Call him Mr. JL. And I just thought in my head, this is the beginning of the end.
It took literal seconds to come up with that name.
But, you know, I don't blame Kevin. He had so much on his plate. You know, there was so much. And, you know, he had the NWO going and stuff. Right. So I was just an afterthought. It is what it is.
Austin, I in the same vein as Mr. JL, have you ever had a gimmick that you've worked that was, have you always just been Austin Lane, best of the best, or have you ever had something that you hated?
No,
he hated worst of the worst.
That's a terrible nickname. You don't want that one.
They started that. Thank goodness it didn't stick. I think, when I first started, I mean, it was in a little bitty town, Dixie, Arkansas. I don't think they even had a population. So I get there and I put up the ring and apparently like three or four guys and I wasn't even finished training yet and three or four guys didn't show up. So they were like, hey kid, you know, we need you to work a match. And at this point, I didn't even know it was a work at that time. Still at that point, I still believed it was a shoot.
You know, it was still real.
It was still real at that point. Yeah. Cause they didn't smarten me up yet. But so I was like, well, I don't have any gear or anything like that. So I borrowed one guy, gave me some, blue and yellow, like trunks. And then another guy gave me, I think they were like puke green boots and it had like a mismatch of everything. And I'm like, man, I don't even match, but I'm just there to do, you know, I'll do whatever, you know, just for the experience. And I get ready to go out there and they're like, well, what's your name? So I came up with Austin Lane. The first match I remember seeing live, it was in Newport, Arkansas. It was during the Memphis wrestling. It was, Austin Idol and Stan Lane. So that's where I came up with Austin Lane. So I was like, yeah, I want to be Austin Lane. So, and that's all I told them, no music, no anything like that. So I get ready to go out and they're like, all right, kid, you're up next. And I get ready. I walk down these long steps. I walk down the steps and I stand right by the curtain to walk out. All of a sudden I hear Shawn Michaels music playing. And I'm like, wait, what the world is going on? Apparently, yeah, the guy, they didn't know any. They're like, just play some wrestler music. So they played Shawn Michaels music, and they called me the Heartthrob. I walked out there, and I'm puke green boots, blue and yellow tie.
You had red, long, flowing hair.
No.
No?
I was bald. I'm like... I'm talking about like if I had strings hanging off my shirt, they would have been my arms.
Wait, no, did you wear anything on top or no? Just
no.
Was it short trunks or long tights?
It was short trunks. I mean, I just balled.
And
something.
Did you have a jacket or anything or no?
No.
You know what you needed?
I had a wife.
You needed
the old wife beater.
You need the old jobber windbreaker. So when they announce your name, you unzip it and swing your hand in the air, and you go, "I'm losing."
I've done that. I did the jobber, the windbreaker. I think like a month later, I at least got a windbreaker, you know, and started trying to get stuff to match. And that's, I did the whole unzip it and point up there. Yeah, I'm losing.
Yep.
Yeah, I still remember they called me the Heartthrob. They called me something different every week. like every time or every show. It wasn't every week, but you know, I think at one point I was the Millennium Man.
The Millennium
Man. And this was in 98, not even 99 or 2000. Like, I'm like 2 years early.
They were thinking ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Shannon, wow. I will pay you $20 tonight.
If I introduce him
as the heartthrob.
I could not believe it. I can't do it. They played the Shawn Michaels music. I walked out. I had like a white wife beater. I just threw something over because I didn't want to, you know, just walk out. And I had no muscles at all. I'm not bone skinny. I walk out. And I had the wife beater on, and they played the song Baby Face. I mean, no hair at all. They play Shawn Michaels music. I'm like, what the world? And then I hear the heartthrob, and they look down there like, that's you, kid. I walk down, I'm like, oh no. I had my head straight down, walked straight to the ring. Head down, didn't work the crowd or anything. I just got up in the ring, like, oh my God, I was so embarrassed.
You just got on the mic and apologized immediately. And
said, oh Lord, no. Back I'd then, you, if you didn't, yeah, if you didn't
work the crowd, you. Do this.
Oh.
Both of them. Both of them did.
The crowd went confused.
Yeah.
We only got about 5 minutes left on here. I know you guys, Jerry, you've got the refereeing in Austin's match tonight. Austin, yep. You got that big one-on-one versus Justin the Juice Smart. You guys did some intense promos earlier. Well,
yeah.
You were intense. Justin was funny. And then he hit Dalton in the crotch.
Yeah.
Which was great.
So we were doing the interviews like chest up. And
did ask you what the capital of Thailand was first, at least?
No, but he should have. Yeah, no, so for some reason it doesn't happen because Ace and I do most of the interviews for CCW, and I've come to realize that people don't really like mess with Ace a whole lot during interviews. They will mess with me. Like, he's tried taking my shirt off. Like, they've touched me and they, like, mess with my face. Well, Justin, and I don't know what made him think of this, but he's cutting the promo and it's all, yeah, like, what you're doing right now.
We told you it wouldn't last. The sympathies.
Jerry
the sympathies
Lynn is touching your face. Yeah. Yeah, just take that.
So, like, if I died now, it'd be cool.
Oh, but, you need to raise your goals.
So, well, no, because this also happened. So Justin cuts his promo and then in the middle just, Sack slaps me. Like at the end, I don't move because it didn't, like he didn't do it hard. He just did enough to like try to get a rise out of me. And he goes off, I finish the thing and he ends and he was like, I almost have to give you props for not even reacting to it.
Didn't break character.
I'll do that a lot in interviews. I'll sit there. I remember having,
you cut one of ours short one time.
No, you cut it short. You're like, nope, I got to start over. Keep going. Oh, yeah.
He starts taking my shirt off. So I thought he was like doing we need to do it again. He's like, no, I meant to do that.
Right? Yeah, I was like, no, just go with it.
Tonight?
Or
in the ring?
In the back.
Filming for the YouTube show.
Yeah, the second we get done, Ace and I are going to run to the back.
Oh, good. I like to always stand behind the cameraman and try and get the guy to crack up.
I've done an interview one time where I got up there and like it'd be someone else. Like, hey, did you see, like if I'm doing something with Jerry Lynn, hey, did you see Jerry Lynn's last match? And the other guy would be like, man, I hope so. Put his head down. And it, man, I'm talking about the entire locker room cutting up.
Now, Asa, I know there's a couple questions we always ask our guests on PW Presents. I'm going to pass it on to you, to Mr. Lynn and Mr. Lane. Can I ask one question, though, before you ask some of those questions? Please. Austin, I've always wondered, how do you feel about referee Lane Austin?
How do I feel about
the name? Like, is there – when
you know
Austin,
what I've
Lane,
heard?
Lane Austin.
It's his real name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is his real name, which, I mean –
I'd make him change it.
I love the kid to death.
Introduce him as a heartthrob tonight.
I'm just wondering, like, I want to know, like, who his mom is, first off. And I want how old he is, and, you know, just a little bit of research. But other than that, you know, I love the guy to death.
I dare you to introduce the ref as the Millennium ref.
The heartthrob ref.
The heartthrob Millennium man.
There you go.
Lane Austin. Hey, son.
So you mentioned that you don't really keep up with a whole lot of stuff, but you'd mentioned Progress and wanted to go to WrestleCon to kind of maybe get a better idea of what's going on. Is that something that you really look forward to? Just kind of like, even coming to like CCW and just kind of seeing like what different places are doing just as a...
No, I'm still a fan. I've always been a fan and I just want to go check them out as a fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be at different shows and stuff. You know, just to say hi to the guys and watch a show. And then they'll ask me, did you watch my match? I go, yeah. And they go, well, you got any criticism? I go, no, I was just watching as a fan. I said, and unless something really sticks out like a sore thumb, I didn't notice anything. Mm-hmm. So I don't always show up just to critique it or anything. I'd like to show up and just have fun with it. I'll even yell at the heels. You know, I like to go and have fun.
So I know you did a kind of a guest thing at the Performance Center
yeah
fairly recently and like doing these kind of seminars. Is that something you would have any interest in doing kind of longer term, or is that just more of a one-off?
Well, that's up to them. Deal? You know, it's not like, you know, people say, why don't you go down to the performance center? Well, I can't just show up and go, hey, I'm here. You know, it's like a job. They have to want you, you know. So it was nice that they invited me and stuff. And, you know, so it's up to them. You know, to me, you know, being a trainer or something, or that would be, you know, awesome to be able to do something like that since I can't wrestle anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be great. I'd much rather do that than what I'm doing, even though I don't mind my job now. So,
is there anyone that, because like you said earlier, you don't really keep up. Is there anyone that you have an eye on or that you kind of try to follow, or
the next big star?
No, well, there's so much great talent out there now. The stuff these guys are doing now is just, I mean, they're such great athletes. Mm-hmm. Like I've told other people, I said, I wouldn't even belong in the ring with them now. And
I think Dalton disagrees with that.
No, you know what? My last, retirement tour, I had a match for Pro Wrestling Syndicate because I worked for them quite a few times. And they had me, I think, in an 8-man, and AR Fox and, Rich Swann. I mean, some of the guys that were in that match were so incredible, and they all went in there and did their spots and stuff. It was my turn to get in the ring. I didn't even want to get in. I was like, I don't belong in here with these guys. So
you just sit outside watching.
I should have just went and hopped in the front row and just said, go ahead, guys.
You got this.
But yeah, so I knew then it was time. I knew before then it was time to go. That's why I announced at the end of the year it was going to be my last year. So I knew I couldn't go like I used to, and my body was just screaming at me, what are you doing to me? So it was time.
Who's your favorite? I don't know. Ace was probably going to ask this, but I'm curious. Who's your favorite you've ever worked?
There isn't one.
Not a single one you can think of?
Because there's so many guys that are different, you know, and I can't even pick a favorite match. I can't pick a – it's just there's been so many cool moments over the years, you know. There's different – and most of the cool moments involve how the crowd was reacting to the match, because that's what you want is the crowd, you know, you want to take them on that emotional roller coaster ride. And that was the drug for me in the business, is that you have certain nights that where – all the pieces of the puzzle fall into place, and you got the people going, ah, boo, ah, boo, you know, and you take them on that emotional roller coaster ride, and I get goosebumps thinking about it still, but it's those nights when you get back in the locker room and you think all the injuries, all the political crap you put up with, you know, it's those nights like that that make it all worthwhile, and they were hard to come by, but when it happened, boy, you couldn't get to sleep till 5:36 in the morning because of the rush. It's just an amazing feeling.
Also, you still get that after every time?
Yeah, so every single time. There's certain matches that, I'll be up for days. I mean, just it's the adrenaline. And it's not just the, because I've had great, great matches where, you know, everything went perfectly, but those special moments where you have a great match, and the crowd is in the palm of your hand. I mean, you got them eating out of the palm of your hand. Everything you do or everything the other guy does, they're reacting to. Yeah, those moments are just so special.
Like when you won the title. I swear to God. So when he won the title, and we help out with CCW. We do a lot of stuff here, but we didn't know the finish. And I, even though you kind of know what's happening because we're backstage and we're hearing all this stuff go down. When Austin, when you climb the ladder and you grab the belt, I don't know about Ace and Dalton, but I was literally yelling, and I was thinking, if someone screws this up, if Pinnacle runs out and robs you of the title, I'm gonna riot. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, he had me. The whole thing had me, and I hadn't felt like that in wrestling in so long.
That's one of the things that Jerry like taught me over the years, and is, you know, we had a ladder match that should be just a train wreck, nothing but spots, but we went out there and we told a story to the point where, like, you know, right there toward the end, the false finish and then the actual finish, you know, we had people just eating out of the palm of our hand. It wasn't just about the big spot and, you know, people chanting, please don't die, you know, and this is awesome or anything like that. We had them eating out of the palm of our hand because we told the story, an emotional story, and y'all went on that emotional ride. That's the kind of matches, yeah, like that one, the one with Marco or Ricochet, you know, it matches with Jerry. I mean, I don't sleep. Even long drive, I get home, I'm just wide awake. I'm like, oh, you know, let me look on Facebook, see if somebody posted the video, see what people have said about it. And
time to play some Guitar Hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Take the pants off, just get ready.
Yeah. Get comfortable. Yeah, that's right.
And then I know we're wrapping up, but just last question. You said you couldn't pick a favorite of your matches. Do you have a match not necessarily one of yours, but like as a fan that you can look to as
one of my favorites. Yeah. Or it would be Tully and Magnum TA in the I Quit match.
Oh.
When he broke the wooden chair and used part of the chair on him and stuff. That's one of my all-time favorites. I get goosebumps again. See, that's one of my favorites. It's, I don't know. It makes me speechless thinking about it, but it's awesome. It was, and then I'll never forget. I can't remember what territory it was, but I talked to Colonel Parker about it because he said he was there. I don't forget. There's a cage match. Sorry if we're going long. There's a cage match, and during the match, all of a sudden, this saber or sword comes up through the canvas, and the headhunters come crawling out of there, and all the heels, they start beating on the baby faces, and the crowd started rioting. And it was just crazy watching that kind of heat and the crowd just, and he said they had a hard time getting back to the locker room from the ring, but it just stuff like that was mm-hmm. exciting, you know. And then I always loved when the horseman jumped Dusty in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. And then they slammed Barry Windham's arm in the car door. And, you know, and when the Road Warriors took the spike to Dusty's eye. And, you know, stuff like that. It's just, you know, that's the stuff I like.
It's hard to get that feeling these days when you watch the current product. That's why we love CCW so much. It feels that organic feeling, you know, is very much alive. Well, in the
what's
indies.
Missing is selling.
Mm-hmm.
Because... you know, and the guys are such great athletes and stuff, but, you know, it's a big, and I got complacent and stuff and would fall into the same routine at certain times and stuff until I finally get a wake up and call and go, well, I got to change this up, you know, and you got to keep creating new goals for yourself and stuff. And I never was happy with my work. I always wanted to get better and better. And I was always, you know, you never stop learning, but now it's always a big fad to sit there and trade shots back and forth after you've already gone 20 minutes in the ring and done these incredible false finishes and stuff. Well, you gave the people nothing to care about because now you both look 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And what gets them to care about you is selling and actually care about your well-being and go, oh my God, he's hurt. But when you start looking 100%, well, oh, he's fine. I don't need to worry about him. Well, that's what's missing.
Everybody's superhuman.
So why should they care about you when you show you're completely fine after taking all that abuse? And it's sad because you're actually destroying your body for nothing then.
And I would say Austin Lane is probably the best when it comes to making us think that he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The show. I get in trouble. I'll listen to the podcast the next week and they're reviewing the show. And each time it's like, oh, I wish you would stop doing that. Every single time, like, oh no, he'd get up, he'd do.
Stop pretending to break your leg or stop being our friend. That's right. That's one of the other. It's one of these other.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. You guys have some important stuff to do. We got to go do some more interviews. Of course, this won't air until Tuesday. So there's a couple days. By then, Austin may not have the title anymore.
That's not going to happen.
We'll see about that.
No, we'll see. I'm going to call it right down the middle, Daddy.
Thank you so much, Jerry Lynn. Thank you, Austin Lane, for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
It was incredible having you
here. It was my pleasure. Thanks
for having us.
And we're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with the regular Pro Wrestling Unscripted with myself, Asa, Dalton, and Allie. You guys have a great night. And Asa, take us out.
Happy Rusev Day.
I still hate you. Wait, no. Mr. Lynn, will you say Happy Rusev Day for us?
Happy Rusev Day. Is that right?
My heart.
Asa just exploded.
Should I have done it with an accent?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, happy Rusev Day, comrade.
There it is. Have a good night, everybody.